You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
That's where you're entertained and educated at the exact same time. Kind of like what I call being inspired and motivated. And of course I call that motivation.
Tune in, lean in, listen up now.
Hey, what's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome to the premiere show of OMG. That's Omara Gail Radio Show. I am super excited to share on this platform for a lot of reasons, actually. I've been blessed with some experiences in all sorts of areas. Y'all probably don't have the time to hear them all. And I also believe that in my heart and my soul, that each one of us, we live and learn in order to share and to teach. I also love to serve what I call Maravation. And Maravation is a perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I love Maravating people. I believe that some of the greatest people in the world are the ones who are just one word minus a drop of encouragement. Somebody is waiting to be their better selves, their greater selves, the better Christian, the better friend. And if we would just take the time to give that one word of encouragement, they're just one word away from something meaningful. And I also think that if more people would get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, call up somebody, or speak into the lives of somebody, we would experience a more productive world around us. I'm also a midwife. I dig helping others give birth to purpose. And when I get an opportunity to assess a situation, a plan, or an idea, it's like being given a chance to excavate excellence. It's a beautiful thing to shine off something covered with doubt, or to shine a light on something that's been clothed in shame, or even to water something that may be dormant or dry that has been that way for so long until they thought that what was inside of them was actually dead. And I'm doing this show because I want to remind my listeners that no matter how long you wait in the waiting room, if you stay focused, if you remain hopeful, and if you do not faint, my daddy, you know, I call God daddy, so if you didn't know that, now you know that. My daddy, God the Father, is faithful. He is so faithful, and he will call your name or he will call your number, and he will give you your heart's desired. I'm excited to be premiering the entire theme song tonight at the very end of the show, so I want you to stick around so that you can hear the entire theme song. I've been very blessed by a team that helped put it together to mix and master it, create the music for it. So we want you to stick around so that you can feast off of that. And then also at the very end of the show, if you stick around, we're going to share a link with you because my premier guest tonight, Natasha McCray, is sharing a free checklist called More Love Now. And so for the callers to stick around till the very end, you'll be able to get a link to receive More Love Now. It's a free checklist that'll be available to you tonight. Tonight's show is for anyone that's ever been single, separated, or divorced. That's all y'all, right? It's for men and women who would like to find the deliciousness of singleness, or perhaps smell the aroma of life in between commitment, and for those of you who just want to add a little flavor to the marriage gumbo that you're currently in. So we want to help you locate your position in love. OMG is what I want you to say at the end of this show. So you don't even know what position you're in in love. If you're an employee, if you're a CEO, if you're a blue-collar or white-collar worker. So we want to break a lot of that down to you tonight and give you an opportunity to call later on in the show. We'll make an announcement about that tonight. And the premiere show of OMG will help you also assess that title. We'll assist you in removing it from your relationship resume if you never really applied for that job. You don't really want to be doing the work of something you never applied to. So without further ado, I want to introduce to you my premier guest and also one of my sister girlfriends. She's talented. She's the creator of The Evolution of a Love Addict. It's a one-woman show. She's an author, a relationship coach, and she drops knowledge about self-love, seeking love, debunking myths about love, and how relationship experiences can qualify you for a healthy marriage. We want you to become the CEO of love, and trust me, we believe in you. We believe that you got this. So, listeners, I want you all in your own, wherever you are, in your virtual reality, in your cars or in your kitchen or at your job. Don't say it out loud. I don't want you to lose no job. But I want you to welcome on to this call none other than Natasha McCray, Love CEO.
Hello, hello, hello. I am so stoked to be on the show, Mara. What you are doing is fierce. And I know everyone's going to be fed. It's so awesome to be here. It is wonderful to be here.
Thank you so much, Natasha. Well, I know you've got a plethora of stuff to share, so we're not going to tarry on this right here. We're going to just start right on. Let's just do a little appetizer right now. Is there anything extra you want to share with our audience about some of what they're going to experience tonight?
Oh, yes. if we have enough time, you're definitely going to experience a new outlook on love and how you can transition that to work in your favor. You're also going to realize that all the tools that you have are the tools that you will be able to use to have a healthy relationship. A lot of times some people get stuck into the idea that they need to go out and seek something rather than looking in and seeking something. So I'm excited to expound on that.
Ooh, that's going to be juicy. Nice little appetizer nugget right there. So let me break this down. What does it mean, Natasha, Miss CEO, Miss Love CEO? What does it mean to be a love employee?
Love employee. Think about an employee. Employees work for something. Employees wait for a check. Employees wait to be paid. And when you're thinking about love, a love employee is someone who is just waiting, like panhandling. Can I have some love? A love CEO is someone who decides that they're going to own it. They learn everything about love. They seek out to be love and give love as much as possible. And it is proven that what you are is what you will attract. So the more that you tap into your love power, the more love you'll be able to attract into your life. A love employee is also someone who, you know, they just think this is it. They don't have any hope. Employees, the people sitting at the job, going in, complaining on Monday, wait until Friday, that's what a love employee does. A love employee thinks, well, that's just the way love is, or love hurts. Love doesn't hurt. The absence of love hurts. Those are some examples of love employees. I like
that's
the
good.
Idea.
Go ahead. No. I was about to say, that's good. I'm chewing on the whole own it versus pant after it, you know, because the reality is, Natasha, and you said it, it's like some people are so darn desperate. They're wearing a perfume called desperation, and people can smell it a mile away. You know, when you actually, and I'm sure you've heard it, several people say, you know, there aren't, you know, any good men out there, or, you know, I can't find nobody, or even the gentleman, you know, it's hard to find a good woman out there. But the reality is sometimes people are wearing a fragrance that's more like a repellent. And
yes,
so if you're walking around in desperation mode, it doesn't know how to come to your doorstep. So why don't you break down a little bit about how that love hurts situation when you were talking about how we have to decide to own it as that CEO, and how as an employee, you don't have the ownership of that. Somebody else is in control of your destiny, in control of your where you want to go.
Yeah, I call what you just discussed the pig pen effect. You know, pig pen, the guy on Charlie Brown, who would just be walking around with a cloud around him. And your thoughts are your cloud. So is your cloud going to be the pig pen effect, or is your cloud going to be a little slice of heaven? And the way that you determine that is shifting your thoughts. I'm an advocate for shifting your thoughts. And the hardest thing I had to accept, and I coach my clients into, and I'm saying this, and it's even hard to say, is that your thoughts are, you know, it's a direct reflection of where you are right this minute. And that's kind of, some people think that's harsh or, you know, hard to swallow. But I have the example of a client who really wants to date. Her idea is to go on so many dates, to be out there, to meet people, to just have activity, because she hasn't been on a date in a few years. But when we dug a little deeper, she hates dates. She's like, oh, I hate dates. You have to fake laugh when you're, you know, when you're out on the date. And I'm thinking, whoa, this is in direct contrast to what you want in your life.
Yes.
Direct contrast. Yes. So we have to identify that stinking thinking, so to speak, and shift that and label those. Create new truths. So you have these false, I call them false truths, if that's even possible, but you have these falsities that you've created in your mind about certain situations. Love hurts, or I can't date, or here's a huge one. There aren't any good men in Los Angeles. When, you know, how are you going to get married when you're in LA? And I could probably list you 20 women that I know who got married in Los Angeles last year.
And I can list about 30, Natasha. I can list about 30.
Yeah, and the bridal fair is jam-packed. So the question is, how can you shift your thoughts, which will then shift your activities, which will then shift what you're getting out of life? That's the bottom
line. Absolutely. But you know what I also believe, and that's a very good point, because when you've got stinking thinking and the very thing that you're asking for or expecting or that you say you desire to have, you're in conflict with that, because you're actually believing the opposite. So if you believe that you want to get married and that you should be married, but you believe there aren't any good men, or you believe you want to be married or should be married and you believe there aren't any good women, then you've actually canceled yourself out, because that's what you send out, whether you are saying that to your friends, your family, or just yourself. You cancel out the very thing that you say you want to attract. And I love the fact of new truths and or false truths, because, you know, we know our most recent theme, and we're not going to go into politics because that ain't quite my deal, but we talk about facts and we talk about alternative facts. And there's a truth to that. There's a truth to people having alternative facts, things that they believe at their core are supposed to happen for them, or that they believe they actually want to experience, but they're not speaking life into that. And thoughts and words are seeds. And so every time we send a seed of poison into the atmosphere and into the world, that something or we're lacking, or that we don't have enough, or that there is an abundance in this world. Mm-hmm. Our God, our Father, who created this universe, is not playing a cruel trick on people, is he, Natasha?
He is not.
Us to be the great light beings that we are, only so we can get to the end of the road and find out that the stairway to heaven doesn't lead to any place. If the grass and the dirt can reproduce itself and the trees can reproduce themselves every year, how much more will our thoughts and our seeds? So I'm not going to tarry on my whole farm stand. I'm going to actually bring it back to our conversation in terms of the love employee. Can you share just a few reasons why you think so many people are unhappy? Let's start with singleness. Why do you think so many people are unhappy with singleness? Because one of the things I desire to do, Natasha, is bring back the deliciousness of singleness. I want people to understand that singleness can have its own perks and its own flavors, and you can enjoy it like you enjoy your time with your friends. So you want to share with our audience what you think, why you think so many people are unhappy in their singleness?
I think because they haven't embraced it. Like wherever you are and whatever you have going on, you have to embrace it first, or it's going to continue to be a thorn in your side. I always give the example of, you know, the woman who there's parts of her body that she doesn't like. And therefore, let's say, hey, here's the example. Natasha, me, size G before, did not like that. I felt it made me look sloppy. I never fit into anything. It made me look heavier than I was. So I didn't like it. I slouched. I didn't own it. Until I began to own the size G, did I start to feel more comfortable, and therefore I did start booking. I did commercials, so I started booking a little more commercials with the size G when I thought they were only going to want size C. So you have to embrace it in order for it to be a positive in your life. And if you are constantly looking outside saying, I don't want to be here, but I want to be over there, then wherever you are, you're going to be uncomfortable. For instance, someone who's an employee sitting at a job and they want to own their own business. If they are not embracing the job that's being able to give them the investments they need to build that business and look at the benefits, then they're going to be miserable at that job, even though it's feeding them, even though it's financing their dream. They're going to begin to be miserable. So singleness, let's talk about that. You need to embrace it. Embrace it. And how you embrace it is, one, you need to get intimate with yourself.
Oh, can we preach on that just for a second? Hold on. Let me just piggyback on your back on the whole embrace that and be intimate with yourself. When my friends come over, when I invite male or female friends over to my home or to my space, I set it out like they are a king or a queen. I may light candles so that the atmosphere smells good. I may cook or prepare a meal. And if I'm cooking and preparing a meal, I'm setting the table so that it's beautiful, almost like a five-star restaurant, but you're just in my space. When I show up to just meet some people, just friends, I'm talking platonic relationships, when they come into my home, I'm dressed a certain way. I look a certain way. I am, and I've learned to do this, being intimate with yourself, is being happy in whatever state you find yourself in, like you said a little bit earlier, not in the current situation, wanting and baiting and thirsty after what's coming next, but being content in this state, being happy with who you are now. And so a part of that intimacy requires you getting to know you, know what you like, know what you like to eat, know what you like to do, know how you like to spend your free time. Because when you know those things, when somebody gets introduced into this pot, you don't have to take on and fade to black and take on just what they like. You actually allow them to complement whatever meal or entree is at the table.
Yeah, I think I really do encourage people to tap into that self. Like, for instance, you have china at home and you only take it out when you're entertaining. I drink out a crystal when I'm drinking my water.
Yes.
I drink water out of my champagne glass sometimes.
Yes.
So it takes risk as well, because, I mean, people don't know what they like or they dislike. They're setting themselves up for failure when it comes to a relationship, because if you don't have the certification in yourself, how are you going to give somebody else certification?
Like, preach.
You have to know who you are. You have to discover you, your likes and your dislikes. I always think of that movie, Runaway Bride, and the girl would always run away from the gentleman, and the guy was interviewing all the gentlemen that she left at the altar. And then at the end of the interview, he asked, well, what kind of eggs did she like? And they would say, oh, she likes scrambled just like me, or boiled just like me, or over easy just like me. And she found herself conforming to that, because it's hard enough, even when you are a strong personality and know who you are, the people you spend the most time with, you're going to kind of merge into them. So in order
to... It just naturally happens.
Yes, you have to maintain the healthy relationship with self, and when you do that, you can definitely get into healthy relationships. So knowing yourself and getting intimate and discovering you, know your likes and your dislikes, will allow you to take pride in the singleness, to look at it as, you know, a joy, to look at it as a nice, fun task. You're dating yourself. I mean, that gets juicy when you start discovering
it
what
gets,
you like.
It gets juicy. It gets delicious. It gets tasty. And then guess what else it does? When things get juicy, delicious, and tasty, it also becomes what? Appealing for the person who may be looking for you, looking to discover you, because nothing is worse than a person who is so desperate or starving for love and attention. It's like I said, it's a repellent, and people don't want to come towards it. And then, like you said, you don't want to be a clone of your mate. You want to have your own identity. You know, and then the word, when it talks about the two becoming one, you don't need to show up 50% of you. You need to come 100%. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh,
if
yeah.
you come 100 and he
oh,
comes
yeah.
100, or you come 100 and the woman becomes one, comes 100, then you have two holes that daddy gets an opportunity to merge together. But you can't be broken waiting for somebody to fix you, mend you, and correct your chipped up Humpty Dumpty situation. You have to come to the situation whole, which brings me to the next question that I'd love to ask you or just get your feedback on. What happens when a person doesn't show up 100% whole? How can that impact the relationship, cause undue or unnecessary demands on their mate to fix them, to fill them, to repair them? And I'm going to ask you to put a pin in it. Think on that. And I'm going to actually allow us to go to our very first break right quick. And then when we come back, I would love to hear your take on that. I'd love to hear your feedback on that. And then possibly if we've got some people that want to weigh in on that topic, I'd love for them to chime in. So right now, we're going to go ahead and pitch to break and take our first break. Thank you so much for listening to OMG. That's the Omara Gale Show with my special guest, Natasha McCray.
Omara Gale.
OMG, OMG, OMG. Hi, this is Executive Producer Mel D, and thank you for tuning in. We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new, uplifting, and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalists, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn Fields, Less Stuff, More Meaningful Life. An up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels. And there's so much more. So get your subscription today at up2memagazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Okay, so Natasha, I left our audience with a little cliffhanger, so I'm going to let you start off by sharing with our audience some of the tips and tools for this particular little first course meal they're about to encounter.
Well, well, well. When you asked me before we went to the break, what happens when you go into a relationship and you're not whole? There's something that I believe like attracts like. Wholeness attracts wholeness. And just imagine that the person that you were when you were not whole, when you meet other people, you're going to be attracting others to fill in a gap. You're going to be attracting the perfect person for the unwhole you, for the version of you that has not stepped up to the plate. That's who you're going to attract. I speak from experience. I've done that in the past where I had not addressed certain issues, and so I end up attracting people who, you know, did not fit the whole me. So after counseling, after coaching, after going to motivational events, inspirational encouragement, after diving in to who I was, the people that I would attract after that looked completely different. And
yes,
if you don't write anything else down right now, I want you to listen to this. If it is your responsibility, you and God's responsibility, to satisfy your basic needs.
Yes.
It is not your spouse. It is not a relationship. It is not your best friend. It is you and God. Because if you seek out others to satisfy that, that is a breeding ground for codependent relationships. So I highly encourage people to step into, you know, their life and look at it, like look at it, feel it, and ask yourself, where are the areas where I am depending? I don't mean a healthy dependency. I mean, where are the areas where you are unhealthily, if I say that correct, depending on someone, where you are depending on someone?
You just brought up a great point. A lot of people are malnourished. They're just malnourished in their own lives. And when you're malnourished, you need to first get those nutrients in so that you can have something of value and sustenance to be able to share with someone else when they come to the party or come to the dinner table. You know, it's imperative. Yeah. I loved how you said that. It is your responsibility to satisfy your basic needs. Just like it's your responsibility to satisfy your basic needs in all other areas, in finances, in work, in all of things. It's the same for relationships. Yes. It's the exact same. And I want to we've got a couple of callers that I believe would like to weigh in on this. If you're on the line and you'd like to weigh in or ask us a question, you press the number 1, and then we'll allow you in to talk. There's a caller on the line, I believe last 4 digits are 2962. 2962, don't forget, press 1 if you've got a question, and we'll allow you into the call queue.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Laura, this is Gail Metzbauer. How are you? Hi, Natasha.
Hi.
How are you? I am fine. Well, I just wanted to call in, first of all, and just welcome you to our team. We are so excited to have you. And the name of your song and your theme song is phenomenal.
Thank you.
Because you are so phenomenal. When people see you, you say, oh, my, Mara Gail. So when Melissa told me the name of your show, I said, of course. my, Mara is so natural for you. And so we're just so thankful and grateful and blessed to have you as part of our team. I know we can learn so much from you. And as a matter of fact, I'm sitting here listening to this very valuable show, and I was saying to myself, where were these ladies when I was 25? Because, you know, I was the textbook, and it took me years to learn that I was textbook, Women Who Love Too Much. Remember that book from,
yes.
I think it was like from the 80s or 90s, The Women Who Love Too Much? That was classic me. Yes. And so it took years of trial and error to learn that I'm one of those people. And so, there's a lot of people walking around in today's world. I hear it all the time. My love tank is empty. They say it all the time.
Yeah, they do.
And I tell my son, he's a teenager, and he's about to embark in the dating game. You know, he's he's going to be 19. And I tell him all the time, you know what, just take your time and be happy with you and just get involved in things that you're involved with. And you will naturally attract those who are like-minded, those who have the same interests as you.
Yes.
And so don't feel like,
It is exactly the way that things are structured, Gail. That is exactly right. Those words of truth and honesty spoken to him will encourage him as he goes forward what to do. And that's across the board, not just for young teenagers. That's for old, young, seasoned, gray-haired, or some of our youth. If we would just focus on finding the things that bring us joy and happiness, we can then begin to attract that joy and happiness. Gail, thank you so much for chiming in and adding to the dialogue, or I should say adding more food to our gumbo, or some more stock to our gumbo. We appreciate that. Really, we do. Thank you so much. And Gabby's show is on Saturday, so you guys tune in, Gabby G, for her show as well. We've got a couple more callers that we'd like to try to get some feedback and or input and questions. Bye, Gail. Thank you so much. If your last 4 digits are 5179, 5179, press 1, and we'd love to add you into our caller queue as well. Going once? Going twice? Okay, what about the caller with the last 4 digits, 0676?
Hello, it's me, Mara. It's Allie.
Hey, Allie, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Hey, Natasha, how are you?
Great.
Awesome, awesome. You know I had to call in and just say, OMG. You know that, Mars. She, you know, from the time you started at the top of the show when you just said one word away, you know, from one word of encouragement away from achieving something, you know, you were that person for me. You were my spiritual midwife, and you poured that encouragement into me. So I have to say thank you, and I am so thrilled that you are now part of the Up to Me Radio team. I'm so loving this topic as well this evening because it is so needed. I've kissed my share of frogs in my day, and I could, you know, jump on Gail's bandwagon. Where were you at when I need, you know, when I was kissing all these frogs?
Yeah.
But you know what? One thing that I wanted to add to this topic, I unfortunately did experience a divorce early on, and thank God, and it was funny, it's God, because God clearly told me that I should not have been getting into that relationship, and I didn't listen. I let my emotions take control, and I got caught up in it, and thankfully he got me out of it. And after that, I was just so, you know, just wondering if I would ever find love again, and I ever get married again. But in my prayer life, I was praying, God, can you, you know, guide me in this and lead me in this? And what he answered was, I cannot show you love when you don't love yourself. And it hit me over the head like a ton of bricks. And that was when I decided that I was going to get to know myself, fall in love with myself. And at that point in time, I started dating myself. I started learning how to enjoy my own company. I started taking myself to the movies. I started going out to eat by myself. And people, you know, they would stare, but I didn't care. And I loved it. And it was after I learned to love myself and enjoy my own company that I was able
to meet
my Mr. Honey Cane. Praise God, I've been married for 16 years now.
But see, Allie, you just said the magic words. You said the magic words. You found the deliciousness of singleness. Yes. And when you have the deliciousness of singleness, you can then understand and appreciate the palette of marriage, because we're going, you know, you talked about having been divorced and then remarried, but we're going to, at some point, and I'm hoping we may get to some of that, because I want to give you guys who are in the middle range a taste of some food for you too. We've got nuggets for you if you've been separated, if you've been divorced. We've got some experience on this call that we really want to share with you, and so we want to get to that as well if we have an opportunity. Allie, thank you so much for
your
feedback, your input, and adding a couple more pieces of potato to the pot. Yes.
Thank you.
Mara, I want to talk to that because one of the things that she did was like a great example of, you know, stepping into singleness. And I want to clear something up because I know some people, when we say, oh, just embrace where you are, embrace the singleness, it's not to embrace the feeling that you have, you know, the longing and the hurt. I'm not saying to just wrap yourself around the hurt. It is to look from a different perspective when it comes to being single and make it more of a adventure. Make being single an adventure rather than, oh, I'm tolerating going to the movies by myself. I'm tolerating going to eat by myself. No, keep a journal and find out, oh, I went to this restaurant. Oh, I didn't like that food, but oh, I liked this. Oh, I liked waiters when they did that. So really keeping a record of that. And I commend Allie, and, you know, 16 years, that's a lot.
I know, and they've got some amazing kids to prove that was just been having a good time. Both of them that's a wonderful family. I completely agree with that. A lot of times we think of an assignment or homework as a bad thing. Homework is to help you grow in an area of your life, to help you grow or find or learn more information about a subject of which you say you want to learn. Or even when we're on our topic of are you a love employee, when you start a new job, there's a learning curve. No matter how skilled and qualified you are, you still have to find out how this particular company does a thing. And the same goes for marriage, relationships, and the such. Every time we mate with somebody or start dating somebody, there's additional information that we have to gather. But in order to gather that information, we have to know some things about ourselves, because if we're fortunate, somebody's going to have some questions. They're going to want to know what you like, what do you like to do, what's some of your history, past relationships, not into depth about past relationships, because you really shouldn't tarry in that and hang out in those areas. But let's go ahead and kind of segue into some of the singleness, separation, and life after divorce that we could possibly share with them. Let's discuss the idea of being a love CEO from a separated standpoint, somebody who's either separated from marriage or has been divorced. Do you have any experience in the divorce column, Natasha, that you'd like to share in order to equip them?
I was just about to say, we're talking, and I don't know if your callers even know, anything about me. I'm not just talking out the side of my neck here. I speak from experience. I was like Gabby, the love addict, like just so caught up in it and not knowing who myself was. Just like Allie, divorced twice. And what I had to do is I went to counseling, and I had to look in the mirror and accept a hard truth. I didn't finger at, I chose not. I had to ask, why did I allow that type of person in my space? And that's a hard truth to swallow. Why did I allow them in my space? And so after counseling, I was able to just dive into who I am and what I need and what I like and attract a different type of person. So the people that I attracted now, the wonderful marriage that I'm in now, is completely different than any other relationship that I've ever been in. So being a love CEO when you're separated, or are you talking about divorced?
Actually, we can break it into two parts. There's a clear difference. So let's start with the separation part. But before we get to the separation part, I just want to kind of taste a little bit of chew on a little bit of what you just said. Why did I allow that type of person into my space, into my life, into my heart, into my whatever it is? And that's when you really understand that you're not being the CEO, the chief officer of your heart, your life, and your world, when you allow someone who demeans it, someone who disrespects it, or someone who is so dysfunctional in their own ways that they end up subtracting from who you are instead of adding to who it is you know you are. And at one point, and I just need to just let people chew on this for those that are in, let's say, 10-15-year relationships. There's nothing wrong with a 10-15-year relationship that doesn't lead to marriage. Don't get me wrong. What I have a challenge with, and I'm believing that you would probably have it too, is if one of the people in that relationship wants more, one of the people in that relationship wants to be married, and the other person is quite fine with just being in a go-together standpoint or a boyfriend and girlfriend relationship after 15 years, this is my thought and my nugget and my piece of stock in the pot for that. If you and the person that you're dating and getting to know or gathering data on have two different mind frames, mindsets when it comes to what you want as an end goal and what they want as an end goal, stop wasting your time. Stop.
Yeah, the merger is not going
to
happen.
Waste your time. It's never going to happen. It's on two totally opposite ends of the track. And so I just had to go there because a lot of times when people allow people in their space based on the statement you made about why you allowed that type of person into your space, sometimes people come to the table and tell you what it is that they want, that they're just looking to mess around or they're just looking to get to know or they're just looking to hang out. And you got to believe them. When people tell you who they are, was it Maya Angelou? Believe them. When they show you who they are, believe them, and people will tell you. So now I had to piggyback on that before we went into the separation, those that are in the separated state, because sometimes when people are in a separated state, they feel very confused. They have the thoughts of shame because, how did you get out of this relationship or how did the relationship start to crumble, especially if there's no hope of rectifying it or resolution, resolving some of the problems that they had.
Yeah, separation, I mean, that's a very cloudy space, but I'm willing to speak on it. And I say cloudy because are you separated and looking to get back in the relationship, or is separation just before the papers are signed, or are the papers signed and you're just waiting for them to be final? But let's just say you are getting a divorce. Well, I'll speak to that side of it, because when your relationship is not working, there is shame that's associated with it. But if you're going to decide to take ownership of where you are, you do have to go through a grieving cycle. And some people go through it quickly, and some people it takes a long time. And it generally takes a long time when you're not embracing each step. And that means just recognizing it, or I should say acknowledging each step. Because people go through grief cycles when they stop having a friend or a best friend. It's just how quickly are you going to get through it. So you have to go through that. And as far as shame is concerned, you're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to do the work to get out of shame. You have to, I always say, take ownership. It is going to be a natural feeling. I think everyone who's been divorced has shame attached to it. I had a lot of shame attached to it. I was divorced for the second time, wanting to put my head in the sand and hide. And then we make up all these stories in our head, like no one's going to want a woman who's been divorced. No one's going to want a woman with kids. I'm almost 40. No one's going to want me. Like, what stories are you making up in your head, which go back to what we discussed earlier on thoughts? What stories do you need to stop? Yeah. And you have to take the time to love on yourself. You have to acknowledge the loss. You have to understand that you are in that place and it's okay. And don't force anything. Don't force that person to tell you why. Don't force yourself to go out with friends. Like, really take just a moment for yourself to recognize where you are. Divorce is a hard place to be. It's a hard place to be.
It's a hard place separation. Oh, go ahead. I'll let you finish that thought.
I was going to say, and if someone is separated and wanting to go back into the relationship, it's just imperative that you treat this relationship anew. Like, you treat the relationship fresh, that you get counseling.
And Natasha, to your point, one of the things that people miss those that they've been with. So sometimes people think they're supposed to get in a relationship because of loneliness, not necessarily because that would be the healthy thing to do. And then other times, yes, maybe they are supposed to be together again, and they need to do exactly what you just said, go and get the counseling, do the work, and then have healthy conversations about what it was that caused there to be a tear without beating a dead horse, meaning if you all make the conscious decision to merge again, to do the work and to get back together, then you can't go bringing in the old baggage. You have to talk about it. Yes, you need to discuss it. But once you make the decision that you're going to be together, you got to cast that into a sea of forgetfulness, which brings me to another point in terms of the separation. If they're in a separated situation on the line or the brink of a divorce, fight fair even in that stage.
Oh,
fight fair,
as
fair as you can, even in that stage. Try to remember what it was that caused you to love that person and allow that to lead your heart, no matter what the circumstance is, because the reality is no two people fall in love or out of love at the exact same time. So if you fight fair and you continue to try to take the high road, sometimes, not all times, but sometimes the divorce situation can work out to be more amiable than it would have been if you end up being angry and mad and catty and bitter about the whole situation, because bitterness is a kid you don't want to bring into any relationship. And if you have bitterness in this relationship and bitterness in separation and bitterness in divorce, I promise you, when you get married again, that kid is going with you. That bitterness child is going to be on your hip, whether you want it to be or not. And a lot of times, and Natasha, I know you know this too, some women go from relationship to relationship and they never get better. They only get more bitter. And some men do the same thing. And that could be, they may have it justified, meaning somebody may have cheated on them or
used them or mistreated them in some way, but you don't. You have to make that choice to carry that into the
yes,
next relationship.
And justified, no one has a right to share their bad attitude with anyone else. So
bingo.
With the word justify that they can feel that, but not justify that you are treating people a certain way. And
yeah.
At the end of the day, every single person that I coach, we talk about designing the life that you want. So
mm-hmm.
back to what you were saying about someone who's been in the relationship a long time and they want to be married. Like, if you really have to just take ownership. That's why I named my company Love CEO Institute. You need to take ownership of what you want, what you really want in life, not what,
yeah.
quote, air quotes, the cards you've been dealt. Take ownership of what you really want. And if that isn't it, figure out how to get it. Because if there's something you want, you will figure it out. If you needed to know how
yeah.
to do two-strand twists, best believe you're going to Google it on YouTube. If you wanted
Absolutely.
To know how to smooth out them curls, best believe you're going to go see some bloggers who talked about it. If you want to start dressing different, you're going to start seeking out fashion and Order in Style magazine. So seek out healthy relationships. Seek out the psychology of getting what you want out of life. So at the end of the day on all of these aspects, it's a matter of taking ownership of what you want, even in the midst of your depression, even in the midst of your loneliness, deciding what is it that you want and taking
and
the necessary
Natasha,
steps or calling that person who can help them.
And that's exactly how you started our conversation. Decide to own it instead of waiting for the check, instead of waiting for somebody to validate you, instead of waiting for somebody to make you feel whole, instead of waiting for somebody to make you feel happy, instead of waiting for somebody to fill you up. Choose to be the CEO of your life. Design that. And you're absolutely right. People will go online and Google any and everything. I'm famous for Googling. I'll Google. I don't know what I did before Google, but I'm so glad we have Google now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's imperative because the answers are out there. But most of the time, people don't want to do the homework or the work to actually find out what it is they need. Yeah, it's scary. That's it right now. It's scary.
And there's comfort
daunting.
In where they are. It's serving
Ooh,
them.
Oh, yes. That's why we call it comfort food and we have comfort clothing because those things make you feel warm and fuzzy. It's the things that will help you grow that always seems to stretch you and pull you and or twist you. But when things are stretching, pulling, and twisting and you're growing, that means you're getting better. You're getting better at everything, communication, relationships, response time, which is a whole other thing because in marriage, singleness, and or divorce, you really do know how to – you need to learn how to respond to people either in communication or in physical relationships or whatever. You got to know what you want, what you will and will not do. There's this phrase I used to say a long time, and it goes for men or women. If you're in singleness and you're interested in dating, you know, people want to know who's in control. Who's in control? Are there any rules and will they be enforced? Because if you say you're in control of you and you say you have some rules, but you don't enforce the rules, then really you don't have rules. And if you say you're in control of you and a person can come into your life and manipulate you or twist you into doing something that you yourself said you would not do, then truly you're not in control of your life. And once a man or a woman finds out that those three rules can be broken or have no value and you aren't true to those things, then you're at an upside-down relationship. You're already at a deficit in the relationship because they already know, the man or the woman already know that what you say you want and what you say you will do is not actually the case. I want to move on yes, you're training someone. You're training someone, either good or bad. It's just like when
mm-hmm.
we plant a rose or you plant poison. Whichever one you plant, it'll grow. It doesn't matter. The ground doesn't respect a rose more so than a poisonous plant. Let me ask you this question, and then, oh, my goodness, I can't. Well, okay, I can touch on it. Our time is running out. I cannot believe our show is gone.
Tick.
It is just ticking away. Oh, I got to have you back for a part two. I got to have you back for a part two so that we can discuss some of the marriage nuggets that are to
Let's
come
do
up.
Do it.
So before, I definitely want to do that, but let me touch on this so we can have your feedback on some of the tips. We'll just give them a little teaser about bite-sized appetizers about the importance of partnering for a purpose in relationship so that I can let my married folks know, because I know I got some married folks on the line. We want to give you a bite-sized appetizer about the importance of partnering for a purpose in relationship. It doesn't matter if he's fine or she's sexy. We're talking about partnering for a purpose in relationship. Just a brief nugget, because I don't want them to have too much, because I want them to come back for your part too, because I know you got, that's a loaded question for you, because I know some of the things you and your husband did. So just give them a bite-sized appetizer. Appetizer now. Appetizer.
Well, two things I'll say. One, I'm going to say that when two people come together, it's not a matter of fitting into each person's world. Like, I have bylaws. My husband had bylaws. That's just how we did life. What I'm going to call them, bylaws. It's not a matter of convincing him to adhere to my bylaws. It's a matter of us getting together and writing new bylaws. It's not how have you done things for so long. It's what's best for this corporation. What does this corporation need? What makes it best for us? And the other thing is you have to be very intentional. You have to be very intentional with your relationships. A lot of times we say, oh, whatever happens, happens, when we're talking about dating. Or we get into a marriage or a relationship and we think it's just going to work its way out. You have to decide what you want in your relationship and set the intentions and activities in order for you to get that. So if you feel you aren't communicating enough in your relationship, what are some activities that you could do that invoke communication in it? If you feel like there isn't enough sex in your relationship, what are the two of you doing to ensure that that is on the calendar? When you get married, sometimes it slips through the cracks for some people, but you have to make sure it's on the calendar.
Sometimes, Natasha, sometimes people make it slip through the cracks. You know, you've heard those conversations. I ain't gonna jump into it, but you know, some people try to force it through the cracks, and that's unfair, and that's an unfortunate situation as well. But
that's not going to work for anybody. Is what works for that corporation. Everyone's corporation is different. I'm talking about people who are being intentional and people who are deciding what works best for our corporation. Someone might want it every day. Someone might go, I'm good once a month. You two have to decide what works for this new corporation. That's just the bottom
line. Absolutely. No, that's perfect. So when we do our part two, just to kind of let y'all know, we're going to talk about the marriages that are functional, the marriages that are intentional, and then we're also going to talk about the marriages that could actually use some tips to become more productive. So that's what we're going to talk about in our part two situation. But before we go off on all of this, Natasha, I want to let the audience know a couple of things. We had a couple of more callers that wanted to come in, but we're really at the very end of our show. And while I would love to take one of you on, next time you'll have to tune in and you can call in a little bit earlier and we'll try to get your questions in, because I know you've got questions for Natasha, because she is a walking wealth of information. So incredibly delicious information that you share. That's why you're at the top of your game coaching folks. You know what? Do we have enough time for one of the callers, Mel D? If we do, we can put one of them in possibly. We got a couple of minutes that we can have a little bit of wiggle room. And then right after that, I would like Natasha, I want to remind our audience, if you stick around to the very end, Natasha's going to share some information about the checklist that you're going to get. And I'm also going to reveal my whole song that I've written and sang and that's been professionally produced, and I'll share some information with you. So hopefully there's one more caller we're going to have in. If your last four digits are 653, we're just going to take a brief question from you. If you have a question for us at 6553, press the number 1, and we'll add you to the call and take your question before we wrap this show up.
Hi.
Hey there. Who's this?
This is Khadija.
Khadija.
Hi, Khadija.
I don't have a question. I just wanted to say I love you guys. Like, this is amazing. I'm 24, Ms. Mara is my big sister and just a mentor to me, and this show is amazing. You guys have given me wisdom on being single because I am single, and it's just been so many golden nuggets and treasure and things that I can put in my treasure chest. I just wanted to say thank you so much for you guys' wisdom and just pouring out and allowing Daddy to do his thing. So thank you.
Oh,
thank
you,
Khadija. Thank you for that bountiful deposit. You know I love me some you, so we're going to catch up. I can't wait to chit-chat with you. Thank you so much, Khadija. We're going to have you back on the show before your movie come out. She's in a Tupac movie coming up, but I can't talk about it right now.
Oh,
but I'll
nice.
Have her come on the show. Yes, yes. We're going to have Queen Khadija come on because she is a full house all in herself. So I can't wait till we do that. But I'm going to go ahead, Natasha, and allow you an opportunity to share with our audience how they might be able to acquire the More Love Now free checklist that you have that's going to be available. And then I'd also love for you to take a moment to share with them some of the upcoming projects that you're involved in, as well as your social media handles.
Oh, great. Yes. So I'm really excited to give everyone this that's on the show, this free gift. It's on, if you log on to theloveceo.com, and you can download the More Love Now checklist. And you're going to notice that it will infuse so much more love into your life. We are not taught exactly what love is, and so I cover the foundations of what love truly is so that you can infuse that into your world and begin to attract the love that you want. If anyone wants to get in touch with me, and I never do this, but I'm about to do this, Mara. My
Go ahead
email.
And do it.
I'm giving your listeners my personal email address. Yes.
Spooky, y'all special.
Because
y'all special.
You guys are special. My email address is natasha@loveceoinstitute.com. And the reason I gave that out is because I have a feeling and I can sense that there's someone on the line, some of those callers that did not speak up when they had questions, that have questions about their circumstances and their relationships. And I just want to make myself available for them. So if you email me within the next 24 hours, today's February 23rd. If you email me within the next 24 hours, I will send you a link to book a free private coaching session with me. I will send you a link, but you must email. I'm not even going to open it 24 hours. You need to email me when we hang up the call. I'm going to leave that open for the next 3 hours, natasha@loveceoinstitute.com. And then I'm on all social media, Natasha McCrae, M-C-C-R-E-A. Natasha McCrae. I do a lot of Facebook Live. You can get a lot of nuggets there. Also on Instagram, I'll have answering some advice online. I want to be able to just be the person that I wish I had back in the day. I wish I had someone like me who had had some lumps and bruises that could guide me to design the life that I want and to get the love that I deserve. So Natasha McCrae, Love CEO Institute.
I want to thank you so much, Natasha, for being my premier first guest on the show. I want to leave a little motivational nugget with you, one of which is don't work on a job you've never applied for or had a desire to do. Be whole. Be a whole person and not half of a whole, so that whatever thing you get you establish in your singleness, you'll make someone joining that become an addition to the experience, but they will not be the experience. I also want to let our listeners know that the show turns into a podcast about 30 minutes afterwards. So if you'd like to invite some of your friends, please share it with your friends, your tribe on social media. You can find that link at uptomeradio.com. Also, the song that I'm going to play for you now is in a few minutes is my theme song. It was produced, I wrote and produced it, and it was actually the music was made by One Mic Production. It was mastered by Robert Williams. I also have a book, Beyond Blessed, a CD, Ear Candy. Both are available on my website, MaraGale.com. And without further ado, I would love for you to listen to the song. Oh, and I've got a conference in Sacramento coming up March 17th weekend. Please go to my website, MaraGale.com, and we're going to allow this song to take us out. Thank you guys for tuning in to my premiere show. Share it with your friends and your tribe. God bless you, Natasha.
Oh, Mara Gale.
Oh, and me.